Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Are we
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
When Yelle Wolf signed to Shady Records, he was billed as its new flagship star. A rapper from the Deep South with endless talent, fans and Eminem himself saw him as the next great white rapper who could carry on the Shady legacy. However, he never really fulfilled anything close to the potential he once had. And a lot of that comes down to his own poor decision making. And today, we're gonna be taking a look at how Yelle Wolf failed Eminem. Born and raised in Alabama before he moved to Tennessee, Yelle Wolf prides himself on his working class roots. But from an early age, he was already living a pretty crazy life and has since described how he basically had to be a parent to his mom.
They were pretty wild, you know. My mom was, she was a rock star. So, I mean, there was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, all, you know, every day. So, I mean, she really became like my big sister at, you know, which is strange, but it was really like that. When I turned like about 10 or 11 years old, I really started raising her.
Well, what would you have to do for her that would be considered you raising her?
I raised her emotionally, for sure. When all those dudes failed her as boyfriends or husbands, I was the one who held her down.
While in Tennessee, Yelle Wolf uncovered a passion for rhyming and began to hone in on his craft. From 2005, he was actively trying to achieve the stardom that could change his life. He even appeared on a UPN talent show called The Road to Stardom with Missy Elliott, but he never took away the top prize of $100,000.
Yelle Wolf.
Welcome to my land, my home.
This would be one of a series of false starts for Yella, who also briefly had a deal with Columbia and even recorded an album that was never released. But things all changed for Yella when he started working with Ghetto Vision's Willpower. Through this partnership, Yella would get the producer that helped make his music really tick. And soon, his Trunk Music series would put him on the map. And there was one track on that project that would change his life forever. In a listening session with his manager Paul Rosenberg, Eminem heard his song called Pop the Trunk for the first time. After that, M was a fan, and once Interscope came knocking on Yella's door, he'd soon find himself on Shady Records.
I showed up the first time I met him, you know, within a few conversations, he started talking about Pop the Trunk and better than I did. I was stunned, man. You know, like, this isn't happening to me. Like, this is not real, man. I flew coach on a connection flight from Huntsville, Alabama. I just left literally just left a trailer. My check ain't even cleared from Interscope yet, dude.
Signed as part of what would become known as Shady 2.0 along Slaughterhouse to the ill-fated supergroup featuring Joe Budden, Royce da 5'9", King Crooked, and Joel Ortiz, Yelle Wolf had the machine behind
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Him at last. But much like Slaughterhouse, who I've gone in depth on before in another video, Yella had a lot of teething problems when it came to working on a major label. Released in 2011, just after he was in a XXL freshman class alongside people like Kendrick Lamar and Big Crit, Yella's shady debut, Radioactive, peaked at number 27 on the charts. And although Eminem didn't show up to deliver a verse on the album, he did have some production credits. While it received some pretty positive reviews, Yella Wolf later stated that in his opinion, his first album was a dud in an interview with Billboard, stating, "I was anybody's dog on that album. I was just there to do it. I'm in." That's the double-edged sword of hip-hop and being an MC. You can apply a rap verse to any music, so if you're not careful, it can be very confusing, or it may seem like a project doesn't have a specific direction. On that album, there was just a few attempts with maybe the wrong production or maybe the wrong hook, because it's very easy to say, insert rapper here. Describing M as a friend and mentor, Radioactive was a strong start that got much of the hip-hop listenership excited to see what was going to go down from there. But already, he'd proven that he wasn't going to take M's advice and realized that they clashed in the studio when Yella fought to get Kid Rock on a track, which, if you don't know, is one of the most controversial rappers slash artists for various reasons.
What was one of the biggest disagreements you guys had creatively that, went one way or another?
It was Let's Roll. For sure, with Kid Rock. You know, just classic, long conversations. Just mixing and how to, just being creative with Bob and how to get Bob to sing the word this certain way because Bob ain't got a southern accent like I do. And, ooh, man, it was really, really difficult. It's really difficult to have a conversation with, an icon, man. A fan still, so it's hard to like step back out of being a fan and saying, I really need to make a decision for Yella Wolf right now.
Over the years, Yella Wolf would carry on this hard-headedness, and often, it would just lead to him making things hard for himself and even turned people against him in the process. Throughout his early career, Yella had rocked the Confederate flag as part of his imagery. While he maintained that it was just part of his Southern heritage, others thought it was a poor decision for a man moving within a traditionally black art form to use a symbol that was associated with white supremacy and slavery. But even when fans brought this up, he rebelled against it. "Ain't no way I'm letting someone's ignorance tear me from my roots," he said in a since-deleted Facebook post. "You fucking fuckboys can't save it with this anti-Dixie shit." Suddenly, his fans were horrified and struggling to defend him. A friend told me a month ago, "I fully expect Yella Wolf to go on a rant about the Confederate flag being okay soon." And I told him that I couldn't see it happening because I...
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Didn't think Yella Wolf was that dumb. Despite digging his heels in so much, by November of that year, he would change his tune. After the infamous Charleston church shooting that led a white supremacist to take the lives of 9 black people, he dropped a track called To Whom It May Concern, where he examines his relationship with the flag, rapping, "I got so mad at my own image, I took down merch. No explaining it now, it's only making it worse. To this fucking coward, this criminal's just a puppet, a mental case. But the truth is the truth, he did it because of race." There's nothing I can describe the shame that I felt inside. A white boy with the flag committed this homicide. Try as he might to undo that damage, but it was a stain on his name that stuck for a lot of people to this day. For example, when asked about white rappers recently, Millie's disqualified Yella from the conversation just because of repping the Confederate symbol.
I like Yella Wolf, but I think like his Confederate flag shit and all of that corny shit he's doing, that kicks him out the category.
Whether it was a product of his early life or a degree of hesitance over being told what to do after his first album didn't meet his expectations, Yella was defiant with everyone, including Shady. So when Eminem tried to talk to Yella about the possibility of addressing his relationship with alcohol, he once again refused to hear from anyone else.
No one controls my drinking but me, you know, like I'm the only person who can control that, you know. God himself could not control my drinking, you know, like I'm admittedly an alcoholic and, you know, like it's a problem. I wrote a song about it called Empty Bottles on Love Story. You know, there's, you know, I'm not proud of it, but it's in my genes and I do take breaks, you know, like I was sober for 5 months. That was my last sober streak. And you know, I'm back drinking again, and it is what it is, man.
But he's trying to help you there, right? I mean, he's trying because he cares about you, because he's nurturing you, because he's a mentor, because he's a friend. Eminem is trying to help you there, right? There's not, so how does that go?
I mean, you know, like I said, it's not really like, yeah, he's absolutely supportive of sobriety, you know, and like, that's all good, but it doesn't work for me, you know? So far, I'm not into sober life.
Why doesn't it work for you?
Because sobriety sucks. For real. I can't, sober, man. Like, it just sucks. I'm not a role model, man. Like, honestly, like, I don't expect people to watch this and, like, or parents to watch this and, like, go buy my album because I'm a role model for kids. I'm not that guy, man. I'm just doing me, man. If I want to drink, I'm going to drink. If I want to party, I'm going to party. And that's it, you know? Like, drinking is my vice, you know? It's like, when I'm done working, I want to have a drink. That's what I do.
Even if he was dealing with substance issues...
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts. One bite will destroy your body. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Yella was at the peak of his career around this era. Courtesy of finally getting that Eminem verse on Best Friend, Yella was exposed to more people than ever when his sophomore Shady effort Love Story dropped in 2015. But even as he should have been having the time of his life, after his latest album peaked at number 3, Yella was struggling. And this led to a series of onstage meltdowns where he broke equipment, left shows early, and even threatened to fight his audience.
Fuck what? Keep going. Because I'm a slave, huh? You think I gotta keep going for you? Cause you pay me, motherfucker, I'll fight you.
With Yellow Wolf, it often felt like he took 2 steps forwards and 3 steps back. And a big part of that is because controversies just kept finding him that would kill a lesser white rapper's career dead. Most notably, when he made a very powerful and influential enemy who goes by the name of Royce da 5'9". Royce is known for being best friends with Eminem and was there from the beginning of Eminem's come up. During his early career, Yella Wolf, who has biracial children, spoke out against the use of the N-word.
I mean, I'm from the South, you know, that shit don't fly. In Alabama, there are grandparents alive today whose parents went through a war, you know. We're just out of the slave trade. It's a very real situation. And you know, you don't take that shit lightly, especially hip-hop. And American music culture is black culture. Don't ever get fucked up. And don't embarrass and white rappers by doing that dumb shit. You're gonna find yourself slapped up. And it might be by a white boy, you know? Cause you ain't gonna embarrass me around my people like that. As a white rapper, it's always been a big no-no, but as a human being, it's been an even bigger no-no. You know, whenever I would have said that around the house, just playing around. My mom would slap the shit out of me.
However, it later came to light that Yellow Wolf might have still used the word behind the scenes, even though he publicly opposed it. This caused some tension because Royce heard that Yellow Wolf and his crew allegedly used that word around people close to him, leading to a conflict between them. Rather than come out with it straight away, Royce kind of teased the beef beforehand during an interview with Joe Budden.
It's a situation going on, especially in hip hop. We have all kinds of different people, but we have white people who come into the business and they use the culture, which we got a very open culture. Like, it's here for everybody to thrive.
Yeah.
You got some white people that come in, they use that, and then they go and they do very evil things behind closed doors. Mm. Very evil, racist things behind closed doors. They make comments and stuff like that. And I just got to a point in life where it's like, if I see it, or if I hear about it, or if I'm involved in it in any kind of way, I feel like me is I have to start holding these people accountable.
Although Yella wasn't mentioned by name at this point, people began to read.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Between the lines. And before long, the Detroit legend would remove all doubt on Overcomer with West Side Gunn, spitting, "Yellow Wolf, this is your first and your last pass. I ain't gonna put it on blast. Your punk ass know what this about. You think it's about being loud or trying to be hostile, till you get found face down on the ground outside of Kid Rock's house. Though you a vulture pundit, I hope you get sober from this. Men lie, women lie, so do numbers." But even though everyone knew that Yella had fallen out of Royce's good graces, M's longtime collaborator refused to actually disclose what exactly happened. Leave it to DJ Vlad to lift the lid, apparently with clearance, during an interview with noted rapper turned full-time Eminem hater, Lord Jamar.
This is a Vlad TV exclusive, right?
Okay, let's go.
Apparently, Royce sent one of his proteges to go work with Yellow Wolf, I guess out in Alabama. Yellow Wolf had a white DJ, and you know, the kid who went out there was black. And he started using the N-word around this guy. When the guy went and complained to Yellow Wolf, Yellow Wolf told him that he just needs to take it. And if you're gonna work with us, and you're gonna need to basically tolerate us using the N-word with the hard R. And he said that during this conversation, Yellow Wolf was using the N-word with the hard R. And after all this information got back to Royce, this is what triggered the diss song.
And later, Royce would also voice his thoughts, stating,
"He did something that I felt was disrespectful. There was a window of time that we had to where he could have called me and either clarified or just said something to me. And he didn't even think he needed to call me. He didn't even extend me that respect.
It was something that happened publicly?
It was something that happened behind closed doors.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he knew I knew about it. I took offense to it. And how I handled it was just addressing it on the song. I felt like that was my only way that I could handle it, because if for me to air it out publicly would imply that I'm kind of like using it as some type of like vehicle to like either push an album or be
marketing.
Yeah, be vindictive in any type of way. I'm not a vindictive person, so I felt like the only way that I could do it was just to address it and let them know that, you know, that it's on my radar. Like, I'm aware.
With his name being slandered, it's actually surprising that someone as hot-headed as Yellow Wolf took so long to respond. But when he did it via IG, asking Eminem to come get your hype man before the wolves do. I ain't worried. To speak to a legend like Royce like that is never advisable, and clearly he realized this, as within hours, the post was deleted and reshared, minus the jab to the rap icon. Still, this didn't stop Royce from firing back on IG with a post of his own, where he says, "I can remove you quicker than you delete the post. David Duke and nobody can stop me. See, you want it to be one way, but it's the other way." By referencing Duke, the former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, he was making it very clear that whatever went down, there was a racial element to it. Combined with the Confederate flag dispute, it really gave Yella an uphill battle. Particularly
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
When he'd fumbled other opportunities too, through his own entitlement or cockiness. As Tech N9ne revealed, he could have appeared alongside Kendrick Lamar on their song Fragile after previously doubting the TDE MC.
So Kendrick hadn't done the song yet, and I played it for Yellow Wolf on my tour bus. And he's like, oh my God, that inspires me so much, Tech. Please let me do this. Kendrick will not be able to do this. I'm like, why not? He said, he can't do that. Right. I was like, I think he can.
Right.
I said, maybe we can all be on the song, bro. Okay, go ahead. I gave it to Yellow Wolf. He never did it.
Between the accusations that have been leveled against him, the opportunities for exposure he squandered, and the continuing decline of his positioning on the charts from Love Story onwards, Yella had an uphill battle facing him. And to make matters worse, he no longer had Marshall in his corner either. Trunk Music 3 is my last album on Shady Records, Yellow Wolf said from the stage during a show in August of 2018. Five fucking albums on Shady Records. I feel blessed for that. Make some noise for Marshall Mathers. Five albums in, Yellow Wolf certainly had a bigger name than he did before coming aboard, but not necessarily by much when it comes to the mainstream. In his entire time on Shady, Yella never even managed to get a single on the Billboard charts, although certain tracks did get platinum certification over time. As a result of the fact that neither fulfilled what M likely imagined, nor did he succeed on his own terms, some fans were actually relieved when he cut ties. I don't think Yellow Wolf fit good and aligned with Shady's view of what they wanted him to be. I have extremely high expectations, and I'm excited to see what the future holds. Meanwhile, another fan basically saw into the future. I feel like Yella is on the same career trajectory as Kid Rock, rap to country. Although he always has positive things to say about M himself, it's clear that Yella didn't like the way the label was ran. My years in a major label system, every single record that I wrote and churned in was basically shelved for a year, he said in an interview with Flaunt. Now left without the Interscope and Shady promo machine behind him, if it ever really was in the first place, Yella had to take drastic measures to get noticed by the hip-hop community, as even though he has always been a great lyricist, people weren't really checking for him like that. The result was Bloody Sunday, a diss track where he took aim at people like G-Eazy and Post Malone for a few reasons. Calling G-Eazy a Tom Cruise looking motherfucker, while labeling Post Malone a thief and saying, boy, you're my seed, he later revealed that he did it for sport and has no personal issues with any of them. Safe to say, this didn't fly for some fans. So basically, for clout. It's all the Shady label has anymore, one-sided beef for clout. Meanwhile, Post Malone just completely discarded his disses, saying that Yella was a nerd and that this tweet will be the only support I give your album. Yella then tried to fire back, but he clearly didn't get the best of the exchange. With this failed publicity stunt and a lack of major label support, the record that Bloody Sunday was intended to plug, Ghetto Cowboy, flopped, selling under 10K in its first week. Since then, Yella has switched.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Pushed up his style to the extent that he's basically a country and rock and roll artist now. Much like his pal MGK, he's taken what was once an apparent lifetime love of hip-hop and now basically acted like he always had ambitions to cross over. And while his records always had moments where he tapped into those roots, it's way more overt now. But in terms of people being so astounded by it and actually tapping in, it hasn't really happened, and this is something that Yella is at least willing to acknowledge.
Yeah, man, so it's been harder than I anticipated it being. You know, it took me 15 years to build the career thus far through hip hop. But I think that mostly, I think that there's like, when you see Yella Wolf and Shooter Jennings on a cover presents, there's probably a preconceived notion about what that's going to sound like. So they're giving it, I would say, it's been given less opportunity because of that.
Yeah.
So it's been a slow crawl.
Although he's made plenty of errors in his career, that honestly is one thing that Yella has always had in spades. And since he stepped away from Shady, he's been open in delivering a postmortem on what went wrong. For starters, he believes the optics of him being the first white rapper on Shady provided roadblocks.
Which had a lot of fucking, like, unnecessary outside influence outside of Marshall and I. I mean, it was like, oh, Marshall signed a white boy. Everybody wanted a fucking piece of that project. Producers were coming out of the fucking woodworks. Writers were coming out of the fucking woodworks. And all these songs were being pitched to me and Marshall.
As for him and M, it's clear that the two outlooks never aligned. So where 50 and M just clicked, or Obi Trice was willing to take the direction from M and follow his lead, it's clear that Yella was always too much of his own artist for that to ever really be the case.
Yeah, some of the vibes were super, super good, but because I'm so stubborn, you'd imagine me coming into the studio having ideas and maybe at some point even disagreeing with some of the creative direction. And that's a really hard thing to do when you're like looking at Marshall like, man, I don't know about this. He's like, yo, trust me. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
In the process, it's obvious that Yella regrets some of the avenues they went down musically.
But it took a lot of heart to say no to things that I didn't agree with. And it also took a lot of heart for me to bend and do things that otherwise I wouldn't have been apt to do because I trusted his creative vision.
Although it didn't pan out, it seems like Yella Wolf and M both gave it their best shot in terms of making his time on the label work. The problem was that because of the commercial forces wanting what worked for M to work for Yella, he was ultimately going to fall short of expectations, particularly when he continually did things that alienated parts of his fanbase. And while he still has 2 million monthly listeners on Spotify to this day, Yella honestly could have been so much more.